From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Alyssa Block. Last year, Noah Adams, the longtime host of this program, took a leave from NPR to write a book about the Wright brothers. That book has just been published. It's titled The Flyers, In Search of Wilbur and Orville Wright. Noah's search and reimagining took him to Kitty Hawk, where the brothers first flew in a powered plane 100 years ago, to the Ohio Prairie, where the Wrights later fine-tuned their machine, to the French racetrack, where Wilbur was an aviation hero. This morning, we went out with Noah to another of the sites he visited, Fort Myer, an army post across the Potomac River from Washington, D.C. It was here, in 1908, that the younger brother, Orville, was testing a heavier-than-air flying machine the Wright brothers had sold to the Army Signal Corps for $25,000.
The first flight is 35 feet above the ground. It was 1 minute and 11 seconds long. That was September 3rd, 1908. So you could have stood here, as thousands later did, and watched him, that big plane fluttering down along the side of the parade ground.
You know, we're standing here now. There's a parking lot full of cars and some construction going on. But I wonder, when you came out here trying to retrace the steps of the flyers, how easy was it for you to imagine what was taking place here in 1908?
I've been helped by seeing a video. There's a videotape of some film that was shot there, and also by the eyewitness testimony of Polly Miller, who was the oldest surviving witness. I sort of imagine her perched over there on the red brick cemetery wall of Arlington National Cemetery, and she's looking up. She's remembering the way the plane sounded. She described it as whoomp, 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 these big twin wooden propellers. She said it looked like a big cage in the air. There wasn't anything solid about it, you know, excepting where they sat. The rest of it was just wires and canvas. It seemed so small to me. It looked to me like it was awfully dangerous, as, of course, it turned out to be.
This notion of what people expected from these planes, you write in the book about one of the men from Kitty Hawk, where the Orvilles were first testing the planes and ultimately seeing that successful flight in 1903, Bill Tate, who describes what the community thought.
Right.
Believed in. He said, at the time the Wrights arrived in our community, we were set in our ways. We believed in a good God, a bad devil, and a hot hell.
And that man would never fly. The Lord did not intend for man to fly. The people who saw airplanes in the air for the first time, it just must have been a stunning thing. They would see it and go away and say, I just don't believe I saw it, you know. People would come out here and see it and go tell their families, and nobody would actually believe it. And it was a hard thing to believe.
Did you get the sense that the Wright brothers shared any of those doubts about whether this could work, or were they convinced that they knew that they could make this fly?
I think they knew they could make the plane fly before it even flew. They had a glider that worked. In 1902, they figured out a glider that really worked, that was controllable. All they had to do, and I make it sound too simple here, is put an engine on it and fly it on December 17, 1903 at Kitty Hawk. So they knew it was going to work. They built a better plane by 1905, and when they came here, when Orville came here to Fort Myer, he was pretty confident that he was going to be able to put his plane through these paces and do these trials and sell it to the Signal Corps and the U.S. Army, and America would have his first airplane.
And he starts setting records here, records for altitude, for endurance.
Yeah, almost anything he did here was a record. And it would have been a wonderfully dramatic episode in aviation history, this moment of September in 1908, because Wilbur was in France flying another plane, demonstrating it for the French government. And that was something that just shocked Europe and the French aviators. One of them said, nous sommes battus, we are beaten. As a French aviator saying, it's over, you know.
They won.
Yeah, the Wrights have won. And so Wilbur was there in France flying successfully, and Orville was here. He made his first flight. And then in September, the flight happened that killed Army Lieutenant Thomas Selfridge, who was flying with Orville.
Who's a big man. He's a heavy guy for this plane.
Right. He weighs 175 pounds. He's the heaviest passenger Orville's tried to carry, so there's got to be some concern about that. They start the engines. Orville's plane gets off the ground. It goes down that way south. It makes three turns around this oval course, climbs to 100 feet in the air, and then there's two thumping noises. What's happened is a propeller blade is split apart, and power gets lost, vibration, rudder gets jammed, and the left wing falls, the right wing goes up, plane is tilted over. Now, Orville described this later, and I'll read it. He says, quick as a flash, the machine turned down in front and started straight for the ground. Our course for 50 feet was within a very few degrees of perpendicular. Lieutenant Selfridge, up to this time, had not uttered a word, though he took a hasty glance behind when the propeller broke, and turned once or twice to look into my face, evidently to see what I thought of the situation. But when the machine turned headfirst for the ground, he exclaimed, oh, oh, in an almost inaudible voice. Suddenly, just before reaching the ground, the machine began to right itself rapidly, a few feet more, and we would have landed safely. But they hit the ground, and there were three Army surgeons watching, and they rushed immediately. Orville's thigh was broken and some ribs. Selfridge died that evening in the Army hospital where Orville convalesced. Took him 6 weeks to do it. But Selfridge was the first person to die in a powered aircraft.
By 1909, the year after this fatal crash, the Wrights are back here flying, and they prove that the airplane can do what it can do, and it becomes the Army's first plane.
Right.
This is just 5 years before World War I begins.
Right.
And I wonder, it sounds like from what you write about in the book, that they really had no conception that the invention that they created would come to play the part that it did in combat.
Yeah. Orville and Wilbur had said they thought it was going to be as a scouting vehicle, the same way you used balloons in the Civil War. Get up, see over the enemy line, see what's going on. They didn't really understand what would happen with armed combat, and they didn't understand what would happen, I believe, with bombing later on.
As you traveled around to places like this where the Wright brothers tested and flew and tried to imagine what that must have been like, did you put yourself in that plane, on that flight in 1908, that first fatal flight, and imagine what that must have been like?
Yeah, it's you know, that's when you really want to have time travel happen, have it be real. Come back here to the parade grounds at Fort Myer and just get that general feeling. Now we hear all these motor sounds in the air, all the planes are up, and there it would have been quiet. I always see it in black and white because I've seen the film from 1909 here in black and white, and I've seen that big plane. You can see the propellers blurring, it's going so slow. And you can see a man sitting up there. He's wearing a hat. He's dressed in a business suit. They always wore business suits. And I can easily imagine Orville flying down across that line over the edge of the Arlington National Cemetery, past the officers' housing here, the red brick housing. They loved to fly. They just loved it.
Thank you, Noah.
You're welcome.
NPR national correspondent and former All Things Considered host Noah Adams. His book is titled The Flyers, In Search of Wilbur and Orville Wright. You can see photos of the Fort Myer flights and the fatal crash and read an excerpt from the book at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.